Matthew 24, verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, No man knows the day or hour, neither the angels of heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. And he stopped right there. Did he say that? He should have said that if all the people who say you can't know the day or hour, and not even Jesus knows the day or hour, because the disciples are asking him, what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? But he doesn't say, I don't know, as some think he says in Mark 13:32, that the Son doesn't know that. He proceeds to answer their question. What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? He doesn't say, I don't know. And he goes into detail. He tells us about false Christs and false gospels. He speaks of the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place. He goes on to refer to Israel, the fig tree, being in leaf. And then you can know summer is nigh. And there's a lot of information that Christ gives, which is amazing if he doesn't know the day when he's going to return. Isn't that something that he can give all that information and yet himself not know the actual day? Well, we know that he does know because he's God. It's very simple, and we can't understand the Trinity, but we know the Bible teaches the Trinity. There's three but one, and Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Christ says of himself and the Father, I and the Father are one. And so that's, of course, he knows when the time will be. He knows the day. His name is Alpha and Omega. His name is the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Jesus' name, one of the names that God assigns himself, is the end. Now, his name's also the beginning. Does he know when the beginning was? Does he know when the creation began? Yes. Yes, he does. And he also knows when it will end. And he's telling us now, May 21, 2011, is the appointed day of judgment. That's the day that God has selected, and the world will not go past that in the sense of continuing with business as usual. In verse 4, And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences, and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. What is it that we have to endure? What must we endure unto the end? The doctrine of the Bible, the teaching of the Bible, especially during this time when God has opened up the seals and he's teaching us all sorts of new information. Just look at all the people maybe you knew over the last few years who were right in line, you thought, with yourself and with Family Radio and with the Word of God, and how many have fallen away? How many have gone away? I can think of several. And it normally happened right after a new truth opened up, and they were offended. They were offended by that truth, like, say, annihilation. That seems to have gotten a bunch of people. And we began to learn that God does not have a place called hell. He's not going to throw people into a literal place called hell that he would create forever and ever and ever. But he's going to destroy man, and that will be the end of the sinner. On October 21, this whole world and all the people in it who are left behind and unsaved will be destroyed, and that's it. That's what we've learned, and some people were very upset about that kind of information, and suddenly the friend became a foe. And they not in every case, some just went away, but in some cases they got very angry, and they quickly decided, well, this is a false gospel. And that's what God is saying, that he that shall endure sound doctrine is whatever God says it is. It's not what the church says it is. It's not what we think it is. Sound doctrine is whatever the Bible says it is. And if God says that he paid for the sins of his people before the foundation of the world, then that's sound doctrine. And we're not to argue with him and fight against him. We're to agree with our adversary quickly. Agree quickly. Some people, you know, they're still struggling with their adversary, who is God, and he's coming. The king is returning back to his land, and if he finds any rebels, he's going to put them to death. And so we have to agree with God on all these points. Stop arguing with him. Stop fighting against him and say, yes, Lord, whatever you say. You know, that's humility that God would want his people to have. It goes on to say in verse 14, in this gospel the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. And we learn that that's coming out of the churches and congregations, that God would call his people out of the church. Let's focus on verse 14 here. And it says again, in this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Has that ever happened in history? Has the gospel ever been preached to all nations? Some people think that means it has to be translated into every known language. Like Wycliffe Bible translators, they're still working on, I don't know how many languages, a few hundred languages. But that's not what God is saying. He's not saying it has to be translated into every language. He's just saying the whole world has to hear the gospel of the kingdom. It has to be preached in all the world. Has it ever happened? Well, in the days of Noah, the whole world heard. The whole world knew that the flood was coming. And how do we know that? If we go to 2 Peter 2, it says in verse 5, the end of verse 4 speaks of being reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. So Noah was a preacher of righteousness. What's righteousness? Or whose righteousness? 1 Corinthians 1:30 says Christ is righteousness. Like he's faith, like God is love, Christ is righteousness. So Noah preached Christ, and Christ is the Word. He's the Word made flesh. And so Noah was preaching the truth that he learned from God to the people prior to the flood. And the whole world heard, because there was only probably a handful of million of people before the flood came. And how many continents were there? One continent. One big landmass. It wasn't until the days of Peleg that the continents would be divided. And how many languages were there? One language. It wasn't until the Tower of Babel that the languages were confounded. Whatever language it was that they spoke, the whole world spoke the same language, which makes it a lot easier to communicate, as we're seeing family radio urgently and rush to try and get the gospel translated in as many languages as they can, and they have about 60. But Noah didn't have that problem because everyone spoke the same language. They were on one continent. They all spoke the same language. And, I think you've heard Mr. Camping say, and it's just true, just an observation. The people tend to come together in cities and socialize. And there are some that will go off by themselves and remote places, but most will come together, and that's probably what happened then. And then of these few million people, we had Noah, the Bible tells us, who built an ark that was about 900 and some feet long. Do you think the people of that world, who didn't have all the entertainment that we have today, do you think they would have known about it? Anyone? How many people here know about the clothespin across from City Hall in Center Philadelphia? Not too many. All right. How about what's another? How about the Love Park? How many people here are from Philadelphia? Let's put it that way. All right. That's why. All right. Well, now where am I going to go? How about the Statue of Liberty? Very unique. Very big thing in New York City. And a lot of people know it all over. And I was going to tell you about the clothespin. It's modern architecture. It's across from City Hall, downtown Philadelphia. It's a giant clothespin. And it's unusual. And most people in Philadelphia know about it. So here is a man building a boat the size of a cruise ship on dry land, maybe in his backyard. And it's a very small population, a handful of million of people in all the world. And he was building it for years. Years. Do you think they knew? And would Noah have told them why he was building it? Definitely. Definitely, because he's a preacher. He's a preacher. God just said in Matthew 24:14, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And that's what Noah was doing, except he had an easier task in some ways, harder in others. If we go over to 1 Peter 3, it says in verse 18, for Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Now the Spirit is what's going to be referred to in the next verse. By which, the Spirit, also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. That's Jesus, by the Spirit of God, went and preached to spirits in prison. Now, that could be somebody here. You could be a spirit. Of course, we all have spirits or souls. And if an individual is unsaved, we're in prison. You might think you're like the freest person around. You might think that you can do what you want and say what you want and think what you want. And yet, according to God and the Bible, you're in a dungeon, and Satan is the one who is there. And it's like your iniquities are cords that are wrapped about you. That's what the Bible tells us. And that's why when Christ came, he preached deliverance to the captives. If the Son of Man shall set you free, you will be free indeed. And the reason is that we're spiritually bound to our sin. In our unsaved state, we're dead. And only Christ can open up the prison doors and release us. And so he went and preached unto the spirits in prison through the Spirit, which sometime were disobedient. The word sometime is better translated aforetime, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. So Jesus is saying that he preached to the spirits in prison prior to the flood, because Noah's a preacher of righteousness and Christ is righteousness. And so he was preaching Christ. And just like today, we're ambassadors. The child of God is an ambassador for God himself. We are standing in his stead, representing him on earth as we bring his word to the people of the world. And that's what Noah was, as God's Spirit moved him to preach and to share the information the world was going to be destroyed. Everyone heard this message. But that doesn't qualify for Matthew 24, because Matthew 24 is thousands of years after the flood. And it's future tense. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Well, there's another verse that we have to look at concerning this question of, has the world heard the gospel, the whole world? In Colossians 1, it says in verse 23, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Now this is saying that the gospel which you have heard was preached to every creature under heaven. And we wonder, because this is still the first century A.D., and it's using past tense. The gospel was preached to every creature. And yet, we also know that this is written after Matthew 24:14 was written. And so if the gospel was preached to every creature, why didn't the world end? Why did it continue and has continued up until today? And I think the reason is, if we go over to Psalm 19, that this is a reference, I think. If anyone knows of a point in biblical history where we read that the gospel was preached to every creature, you know, I really would like to see it. But we do know in this sense the gospel is preached to every creature. In Psalm 19, which is a psalm to the chief musician, a psalm of David, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. To declare something, you have to talk. And then God is saying, the heavens, the sun, the moon, and the stars, are they're speaking. They're speaking, they're talking to us, not literally. Not literally, we can't hear a voice, but the testimony of the celestial bodies of this creation is that there is a God. And it goes on to say in verse 4, their line is going out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world, in them has he set a tabernacle for the sun. So here God is basically saying that the creation is speaking on a daily basis to everyone, to all of us. And we all see the sun in the sky. We all see the stars at night and the moon. And so it's a testimony. It's a declaration from God, because he created it all, to all people, that there is a God. And more than that, in Romans 1, where it picks up on this in verse 18, it says, therefore the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold or suppress, is the idea, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So here the Bible is saying that the creation testifies to God and even to his eternal power. It takes an almighty God to speak and to create this universe. So it's a testimony to his might and his strength, and also the Godhead. Now, I don't know how that is, but it's true. That's what the Bible says, that the heavens are testifying of the Godhead, and as we know, God is one God but three. So this the creation has been preaching to the people of the world, and yet it's not a complete declaration. It's not a full revelation of God. We were being told some things, but a lot of things were not. It's sort of like when God wrote the Bible. The Old Testament, there's a lot of mystery. Then he gave the New Testament, cleared up some things, but still there was more mystery. And as Mr. Campings explained in the study a while back, where God found fault with them, meaning the first two covenants, the Old and New Testament, in the sense it wasn't quite clear enough. And now in our day, he's opening the scriptures, and we're understanding things as if he's speaking face to face with us. He's speaking plain and in no parable, because he is by the Spirit leading us into truth and making sure we understand these things. So this just means that Colossians, I think, is referring to the preaching of the creation to the people of the world, and that's why it says the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. So that's another way that the gospel is preached to all the world, but it doesn't qualify to explain Matthew 24:14, because God has a different method or a different focus in what he's saying there. In this case, which is happening now at this time, God wants every human being to know what he's about to do. He wants every person to know who could possibly know. Like, some babies won't be able to understand these things. Maybe some people with some mental problems won't be able to understand these things. But everybody who can, He wants the whole world to know what he's going to do. Why would he want everyone to know? Well, what if he just, that appointed day, he didn't reveal to anyone, and May 21 would come, and the world's continuing as usual, and then on that day was Judgment Day, all over the world, as we're learning, in all probability, in a process from nation to nation to nation. And what would people think after it happened, after earthquakes and tsunamis and everything happened? Well, what do people think today when there's natural disasters? Mother Nature sure was cruel to us. They don't assign what happened to God. They don't think that God's responsible. No, it's just a thing that happened. No real intent was behind it. Just the hurricane came, the tornado happened, and we would probably have people who would say that, and others would probably say it's their God of their religion that is doing it, rather than the God of the Bible. So God wanted to make sure the whole world knows what he's about to do. And so he is now revealing this to every person in the world. Every human being is going to be informed who is capable of understanding before it happens. And then everyone will be clear why it happened. And they'll know because they've heard about it. In some cases, in many different ways. Well, going back to Matthew 24, I want to look just a second at preaching, as it says there that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached. Excuse me, Matthew 4:17. Matthew chapter 4. Verse 17 says, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Also Matthew chapter 10 and beginning in verse 5. "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, 'Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver, nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves. For the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. And when ye shall come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet." And these are good instructions for anyone bringing the gospel to preach to the people of the world. When someone doesn't want to hear it, just forget about it and turn and go and go to the next person. You know, dust has to do in the Bible with man. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. And when we're out there giving out tracts or sharing the gospel, you know, there is an enemy, and he would prefer we not do that. And yet he's a spirit being, so he can't knock the tracts out of our hand. He can't rip it up. He can't try and scare us. But he can stir up other people who are unsaved individuals. And it's a pretty easy thing to do. You know how someone wakes up, they're kind of cranky, and they're coming down the street just in a bad temper, And here is the child of God standing on the corner, and this individual comes around the corner. He's just looking to take out some of the aggression on someone, and here's an opportunity. Get that out of my face. And he takes it and rips it up. And now what's the believer going to do? What are you going to do? Well, the thing to do is to forget all about it. Not even be concerned. It's nothing. It's like the dust of your feet. It's coming from a man. Don't worry what man thinks. And so you shake it off. You know that term we use in sports, right? When the pitcher throws the pitch down the middle and it goes flying for a home run, the catcher comes out, shake it off. Don't worry. What's he saying? Forget about it. Now you got to focus on the next batter. And that's what God would have us to do, to forget what people would say to us. They don't even have to say things to us, do they? You know, if we know the looks, we know the expressions when we're there, and they're all designed for a single purpose, to get us to stop sharing the gospel. And God would tell us, actually, in Philippians, in Philippians 1, in verse 28, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. So don't be afraid. God is saying that's the goal, to make someone fearful. And you may not even know it. You may not even know it. It might just be something that's on another level. It's not conscious. But, well, you had a tough time on that corner. And then you go home, and next time you go to hand out tracts, I don't want to go there. I want to go somewhere else. Well, it might be working in your subconscious that you had a rough encounter, a really rough time, and so there was a little intimidation. And that's often how Satan works. Now let's also go to Jonah chapter 3. Regarding preaching, you know, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Jonah was a preacher. And some people might say to put up a billboard or to wear a shirt that says Judgment Day isn't bringing the gospel. It's not bringing the gospel. And Matthew 24:14 says, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. You can't just say May 21 is Judgment Day and conclude that that's the gospel. Well, no, we can't do that, but God can. God can do that. In Jonah chapter 3, it says in verse 1, and the word of Jehovah came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So here's the prophet Jonah. We know the story in chapter 1 and 2 that God told him to go to Nineveh and he ran. And then he couldn't get away, and God has the whale vomit him out near the city of Nineveh. And now God is giving specific instructions to him. Preach what I tell you to preach. And not more, not less. And what does God tell him to preach? Well, in verse 3 and 4, so Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of Jehovah. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city, a 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter unto the city a day's journey, and he cried. That word cry is the same word preach. And he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And God is full of grace and truth and mercy and compassion. And then he just laid out the whole gospel. Did he? No, he preached this and this alone, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. No mention of love, no mention of mercy. Not even a possibility is included in his message. And God specifically told him, preach what I want you to preach. Now, why is May 21 Judgment Day going up all over the world? Why that message? And we also, you know, by God's grace, have a part of the verse of Jonah 3:8, cry mightily unto God. But in many places, that verse isn't there. It doesn't even need to be there. Judgment Day, May 21, because that's what God wants us to preach. That's what He wants the world to hear. And Judgment Day comes from the Bible. You know, when people hear Judgment Day, they don't think of the Buddhist religion. They don't think of the Hindu religion. They think of the Bible, the Christian gospel, because it's what refers to Judgment Day so often. And everyone identifies Judgment Day with this book, with the scripture. And so God wants, here he's indicating that preaching does not have to be everything. I remember when we first learned about the end of the church age, and for a long time we were studying the end of the church age, and a lot of studies dealt with that. And some people got offended, and they said, you're not preaching the gospel anymore. And then they go to the verse, like in 1 Corinthians, that says about Christ crucified. It says in 1 Corinthians 18, for the preaching, oh yeah, this fits. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Well, I'm looking for the verse where he says, I determine to know nothing amongst you. Oh, chapter 2 and verse 2, for I determine not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And some people grab a hold of that and they say, this is the gospel message. This is what you have to say every time you share the gospel. And no, the Bible doesn't say that. Or God wouldn't have us do that, or else every single Sunday we would be reading the account in the Gospel of John of Jesus on the cross and Matthew and Mark, and we'd have to stay there. And what about all the rest of the Bible? Now, God wants us to just learn truth. It's not so much what area of truth, but we have to teach the truth and learn the truth and believe the truth, and God can save through any verse of the scripture. He can save through the biblical calendar of history and the genealogies. Let's go back to Matthew 24. Verse 14 again, in this gospel the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. How many failed predictions have there been for the end of the world? I don't think anybody knows, but there are some sites that say over 200. And this is a pretty common thing that people say, that there's been over 200 failed predictions, and this is going to be wrong too. And they'll guarantee that to us. They'll tell us absolutely that May 22nd is going to come, and it's going to be wrong. Now, as soon as somebody does that or says that, they are making a prediction themselves. They're prophesying themselves. And with all their wisdom and with all their knowledge, they're declaring, see you on May 22nd, so then I can have a big laugh. Actually, people are laughing now, And have you noticed they don't want to wait until the 22nd, which they're so confident will come? They want to mock now and laugh now and ridicule now. Well, doesn't it have to fail first? And we're called false prophets now. We're all called false prophets because we're saying May 21 is Judgment Day. Doesn't it have to come and go before it's false, proven wrong? But what's the hurry? Well, the truth is, they don't know it. The reason is, there isn't going to be a May 22nd as usual or as normal. It's not May 21 is going to happen as God is laying it out. And so people aren't going to have the opportunity to laugh about it all through the summer or laugh about it for years to come. This is it. And I think the spiritual forces out there, you know, there is Satan, isn't there? There are evil spirits that are in this world, and he can stir people up. And because of worry, a lot of people are worried. They're worried. That's why they're commenting. That's why they're communicating with us, trying to tell us that this isn't going to happen, because they're trying to reassure themselves, and they're trying to reassure others. Oh, don't worry about this. Don't worry. You can be sure. You can be positive. It's not going to happen because there's been over 200 failed predictions. Now, that give someone confidence? I think it does. You look at some of these websites and they have these far out strange predictions from 500 AD, 600 AD, all through history. They lump together Christian prophecies with some secular, some other religion prophecies to come out with a number over 200. And then they'll throw Mr. Camping in there. Then they'll throw him in there. And what relationship do the true believers today have with any of those past failures? Well, I think we have relationship with one in 1994, but of all the other past failures, like in 1844 with the Millerites, William Miller and his movement, he predicted that Christ would come sometime in 1843 or 1844, and they call it the Great Disappointment. It didn't happen, and so that's put up there. That was actually fairly well known. I think they estimate, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 million people heard about that because it got into the papers of the day and it spread, it circulated among some of the major cities. And then in 1914, the Jehovah's Witnesses had a prophecy and a date. And actually they had a series of them. And that didn't happen, but the Jehovah's Witness had a magazine, they might still have it, a circulation about 13 million. And then in 1988, there was a man who wrote a book, 88 Reasons Why the World Will End in 1988. And he sold about 4.5 million copies. And as you look at it, these are the most well-known prophecies or predictions. Hal Lindsey with the late, great Planet Earth. And I don't know how many people heard about that, but let's give them the benefit of the doubt. Let's say 20 million, 30 million. Probably, without question, the most distinguished and serious attempt was 1994 by Mr. Camping. And that message, due to the Family Radio Network and the book that Mr. Camping wrote and other things, probably had a wider audience. They put up billboards, too, in 1994. There was some media reports, I think two. And the billboards were under, I can only remember two billboards, but let's say there was 10 of them. 10 of them. And Mr. Camping got on Larry King, which had a worldwide audience. How many people watched Larry King? I don't know. Let's say 100 million. Just give them that. Let's say that was the most widespread prediction that there's ever been about the end of the world, 100 million people. How many people have heard about May 21, 2011, do you think? How many people in the world? I would say, and I think this is a low estimate, half of the people of the world. Because there's 7 billion, and we know God's going to tell everybody within the next 35 days. But if he's done this much already, we can be sure he's going to finish it. And he's going to tell the rest. But look at the advertising. Look, and it's not just family radio. It's God's people all over the earth. It's the true believers. There's, I wrote a list because I just don't remember it. And this isn't even complete. I would say billboards, other forms of advertising like on taxis, buses, and park benches, that there are several thousand that are out there in the world. In India, there's over 400 billboards and 2,000 jeepneys, or those little rickshaw things that run around. They have Judgment Day on them. 2,000. And also there's several, many believers. I don't know how many Project Jonah teams, but many believers that are true believers, and they're Indian. You know, they didn't come from America. They were family radio listeners in India. And they're also going around that great nation. And in Poland, there's 100 billboards, and a track trip is leaving today and tomorrow for Poland, Germany, and the Czech Republic. They'll have mobile billboards while they're there. They'll drive the team around, and they're trailing a billboard into Germany, into the Czech Republic, and Poland. And also, there's a mobile billboard in every Central American country, I think. Might be one that's missed. But a mobile billboard, if you ever saw the video of the trip to Nicaragua with that team, and how many people saw that video? Yeah, wasn't that great? They had a rented mobile billboard that had a loudspeaker system, and they were blasting the shofar as they would go right downtown of these cities, and a lot of tracks got out. And of course, there's always accompanying news reports. And we don't know how many people are being reached by news reports. There's a bunch of billboards in Canada. There were billboards or posters in Ireland, Scotland, England, Spain, Italy soon, and many other European countries. There's been track trips to practically everywhere. Sweden, Norway, Denmark just completed. We know Family Radio's Project Jonah was in Africa and Asia. There's a husband and wife that spent a lot of time in Turkey, and then they went to the United Arab Emirates. And they got that billboard up that maybe you heard came down after a couple of days. But after it came down, the Arabic newspaper picked it up and shared that information with over 5 countries. So it actually probably reached more people coming down than if it had been up for the length of the contract. They're in Africa. Africa is really being blessed. I don't know how many nations are in Africa, but there's really few that haven't been reached either by Project Jonah or advertising in one way or another. There's been billboards and a track trip by a New York group, probably maybe somebody here. Went to Australia recently. New Zealand had billboards before the earthquake they experienced. They had some billboards there. Nepal has over 40 billboards that we were told would cover the whole country. And Greenland with that huge country, population about 56,000 people, and Lord willing, it'll be in their newspaper. Same with Iceland, 300,000 people. It'll be in their newspaper. Finland, we're the smaller country. We're, you know, if you look at the countries and nations of the world, there's 193 or 194 if you count the Vatican, which I don't. So it's 193 nations plus 50 or 60 territories in all the world. So it's about 257 to 260 range of nations or territories. 21 of them have zero population, according to in Wikipedia. So you can minus them out, leaving about 240 nations. And I think that family radio, and remember, we're just talking about the things we can see. We have no idea what family radio's shortwave broadcast is doing, what family radio's internet is doing, what family radio's radio is doing in all the world with satellite broadcasting. We don't have any clue how many people are being reached by that, which is quite a bit. But the ones we can see and measure, there's activity, I think, in 135 countries right now. And when you minus those 21, there's still some to go. There's still some to go. But how many people have heard about May 21? CNN news reports on Marie Etchley, remember? The unemployed girl, she got 10 benches at bus stops, and a local news agency interviewed her, got on to CNN, went all over the world. And there's been many, many, many of those kinds of things. The caravan is constantly being asked to be interviewed. And people who do documentaries love the caravan. They want to ride with the caravan. I think they're probably dreaming of, you know, down the line, and this will be an Oscar or something. But we know that May 21 is it, and we tell them that. Look, you're never going to publish this. You're never going to be able to present it for your thesis. Students asked to do that for their thesis. And, well, anyway, it's everywhere. There's a Project Jonah team in Nigeria. I think there's many family radio listeners, native Nigerians, that are in that team. And you can go to many nations, and you'll find that the gospel has been there. Now, God says, and again, let me read in Matthew 24:14, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." Never before in history has the whole world heard about a date. Never. Not even close. I mean, if you go past the 20th century and in time past, they didn't have the means. They didn't have the electronic medium. But now we find a faithful organization that just loves God and the Bible. And information has been opened up about many things, including the time of the end of the world. And it wasn't through a tongue. It wasn't through a dream. It wasn't through, you know, their feelings. It was through the Bible only, which God tells us is the way to come to truth. Scripture with Scripture. Here a little, there a little. That's how you come to right doctrine. This ministry now is bringing that message to the whole world. And what's going to happen is then the next thing, the end comes. In other words, when you see the billboard going back 95, going towards Center City, Philadelphia, think that's a sign, literally. That's a sign that God is giving to all people
that he's about to destroy the world.
You can see it on 95, and if you want to go over New Jersey, go over to Walt Whitman. There's one there. There's billboards in the U.S. There's over 1,000 in the U.S., and I think that number is increasing. Individuals are putting them up. It's not just family radio. Individuals are using their funds and time, and they're trying to put up this message, and it's multiplying all over. Shortly, I think Tom Holt sent a note, there'll be 10 fully wrapped buses in Philadelphia, 10 in New York, some in Boston. There was, I think, 100 billboards put up in L.A. Remember Jay Leno? And he came out with his comedy routine, and one of the first things he talked about, hey, have you seen those billboards that are all over Los Angeles? And how many people watch Jay Leno? I don't know. But they're all over. Did anyone see the YouTube video? Someone sent it to me from Florida. I think, see, some of the Florida group here that this another documentary person went down into the subways in New York. How many people saw that? Good, a lot of people did. He went down into the subways in New York, you know, and it's very dark down there when the train's not coming. And he first talked to this one guy who he had a Bible, and the guy, I thought, said something pretty telling. He said, I'm not afraid of trains. I'm not afraid of rats. It's people that scare me. he's got a point. He's got a point. And so they interviewed him for a little bit, and then they went further into the tunnels of New York. The name of this was called The Tunnel Dweller. And he went in the tunnels of New York, and this guy is knocking on a manhole cover. Carlos! Carlos! And next thing you know, I mean, it would be black, dark. I guess they have light from the camera. You can see the tracks, and it's in the subway. Next thing you know, this manhole cover opens up, and this charming guy, I mean, he was really full of energy, and he pops up, and the first thing he says, do you know that Jesus is coming this year? May 21, 2011. And he's going to destroy the world on October 21. From the depths of New York. God got the message down there. And then the filmmaker, can you call a filmmaker anymore? They don't have film, do they? Well, he went down into this area, I don't know, it wasn't very wide, but it was kind of deep. And he went down, and the man had a little stove, and he was cooking some beans and rice. And he was so happy. And I think the person asked him, how do you wash? And he said, well, I have water. And he pulled up two big containers of water. You know, very happy, very contented fellow. And while the man was talking to him, you could hear family radio on and Mr. Camping teaching. In that little manhole or whatever it was, he fixed it up. And so God isn't going to forget anybody. And that guy is a preacher. He's a preacher. Because the first thing he said when that manhole cover came up, have you heard about May 21 that Jesus is coming this year? So we can be sure all those people down there, they've heard. They've heard because God has somebody there to teach and to share this information. And he has his people all over the world, everywhere. Everyone is going to hear. And we have 35 days left. We don't have to be worried. We don't have to be anxious. How's Cuba going to hear? Well, there's some people who are thinking about how to get into Cuba. How's China going to hear? There's believers over in China. You can see a wrapped van on the eBible website. It has some photos of that. And they're giving out what they can. And there's, I'm sure there's a lot of believers in China. Don't forget that Family Radio is broadcasting from Taiwan with a strong signal right into mainland China. How's North Korea going to hear? Well, they're hearing. They're hearing. We don't want to say how they're hearing because there is a little, you know, we don't want to get anybody in trouble or get that stopped, but they're hearing.
North Korea is hearing. How about the Muslim nations?
Well, out of greed, maybe, they allowed this one or several billboards for a couple of days, and then they came down, and now all kinds of people have heard in five Muslim nations. And so we're almost there. We're almost there. Think about it. Compare this message with any other prediction. There's no comparison. You could pile them all together, all 220, and the numbers of people that heard them wouldn't come close to how many have heard about May 21 today. So, yes, Israel's an indicator that they're in the land again. Homosexuality running rampant is an indicator. The apostasy of the churches is an indicator. And we can even look at all these signs, all these t-shirts, all these hats, bumper stickers. They're serving a purpose. And God's the one who is behind it all. And He's going to warn the whole world within 5 weeks. And then shall the end come. Let's close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank You for the day we're living in, that we're privileged to be able to partake in this this great task of sharing Your word with the whole world. And we know that You're going to do it, and that You will get Yourself glory, that You will inform everyone. And on one hand, it will be a great blessing to Your elect people. On the other hand, it's also a great blessing to those that aren't elect, as Isaac warned Esau and Jacob about things to come, and bless them both in that way. So are You blessing the whole world? Because from our perspective, from our position, anyone could go to You hearing these things and fearing. Like Noah, he was given advance information, and then he moved with fear to the preparation of the ark. And we pray that You would move us with fear, and our family members with fear, our children, may they learn to fear and to realize that they're not going to have summer vacation this year. They're not going to have that future that they assume will be there. And Father, we pray You would help us to be an example of the believer in everything during these last days, really to do what we should have done all along. And we ask You would help us to occupy till You come, and that You would move in us to will and do of Your good pleasure, to not be afraid of people and what they think or what they say, but help us to fear You instead. And may You be our dread, and may You be our fear. And Father, we know we can't do anything apart from You, so we do pray that You would bless each of us, and bless Family Radio as the gospel goes into all the world. Bless all the people that work there and they're involved with the sending forth of Your word. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.